values us at each stage, and in every circumstance of our life, He has a plan, a design. That is, He designs and plans for us to find His presence, His provision, and to be His people. These three aspects we will find in a couple of passages here over and over, and they are echoed throughout Scripture. So I'm not teaching you something that's only in this passage. It's something found throughout. And as we go, we'll be trying to apply these in different ways based on who you are, where you are today. Because I don't know about you, sometimes it seems humanity is never happy. Now, if we started with that, most of you would probably say, well, most people don't seem to be happy, or they try to be happy. But mankind as a whole is not content or truly satisfied. We blame ourselves. We blame others. That's more common. We even blame God. We face circumstances, trials, events, the inevitable processes of aging, and conclude wrongly that there's not much time left, so we should eat, drink, and be merry. Or we conclude wrongly, if you're a young person in the room, that nothing can happen to me. My life is all ahead of me. There's so much more time that I have. And so we are continually looking way forward or way back, and we are never content with what God has given us today. We are not looking for His presence. We do not see His provision. And we do not understand that we are His people. So now if we go to Psalm 31, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. And we'll really be focusing in there on verse 15 and mostly that one phrase at the start of the verse. Because the truth that the psalmist, David, says here, the truth that he brings out is that God is in control. He says, my times are in Thy hand. My times are in Thy hand. We could go a number of ways with this. We could describe how powerful God is, how He's almighty. His hand is sufficient to hold us no matter what is going on around. But I want us to note that our times are in His hand. He dispenses to us the times and seasons that we encounter. For some of you, you're in your younger years, maybe in primary school, and it seems like you have always been the same and that there's not much that changes and that time takes forever. For us older folks, do you remember what it was like to be in year two or three and to think, the weekend, that's forever. Dinner, that's hours away. And you think of it as being this insurmountable length of time. Of course, as adults, we look back and we say, dinner, that's around the corner. Do I have everything planned for that? That's coming up real quick. We think, the weekend, oh, this week will be done before we know it. Hopefully we'll get everything done, and then the next week will come. Our perspective changes a little bit, but those times are very different, aren't they? As a child, I remember thinking, oh yeah, I'm in school, I'm in elementary or primary school, as they called it in America, elementary school, and I'm when I get to be a high schooler, then I'll be able to do, and of course I was thinking of things like sports or other things that I would be allowed to do, you know, stay up a little bit later at night, all of those kinds of things where the time of my life, the season of my life will have progressed and I would be able to do more. But we should not look at those things which are coming ahead and say, oh, well then, that's when we'll truly be living. That's when we'll be truly doing the things that God has given us to do. In high school and shortly after, thinking, oh, the next step, the next set of training I'm going to do, or the purpose I have for my life, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is the plans I'm making, and when I get there, then I'll be doing what God has for me. No, God has for you the things that He has given you today. And He knows the exact moment when He is going to change your time or your season and bring you to some new time or season. He knows exactly when to do that. And it is in His control. If I were to go around and ask each one of you if you think that God is slack, if He is just unheeding, if He is slow to respond, and He doesn't care and He has no plan, most of you would say to me, oh no, Pastor, that's not right. For sure God's in control. For sure God knows what He's doing. For sure. But then if I ask you, what about this trial in your life? Or this aspect of how things are going, or what you want to do in the future versus what you are accomplishing today, how many of us would still answer, yes, God is in control. Yes, God has my times in His hand. And when He turns me to a new chapter in this life, He is doing it just right. He is good in all. The psalmist here, David, he says, my times are in thy hands. I don't know at which point in David's life this was, but he went through a lot of different seasons of life. At one point, he was a lesser child. He was the youngest son. He was a lesser child, you know, the forgotten one. Oh, yeah, he's out in the field. That guy. At another point in his life, he was beloved by the king who liked to hear him play the music. At another point, he was a conqueror, one who had won against an unbelievable enemy, Goliath. He also went through times in his life when he was an outcast, surrounded by thieves, robbers, and those who were out of sorts with the king, King Saul. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it doesn't say that everyone who followed David followed him because he was going to be the next king. In fact, it actually points out that many of them had been drawn to him because they were in trouble with Saul or with the authorities where they were from. So he was surrounded by outlaws and he was an outcast. And in that time frame, he still rejoiced in God. He still rejoiced in God because he trusts in God. I want us to look back at verse 14. David says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. This is his settled conclusion. We won't take the time today to go through all of the things that he says in Psalm 31. You have time this afternoon. You can go look. He describes various different enemies who had come against him, problems he had faced. And he describes the absolute horrible nature of the attacks and how it had affected him physically and emotionally. In verse 9, he says, I am consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. It gave him indigestion. Or maybe worse. But here, in spite of all of that, I trust in thee, O Lord. He was settled on one thing. His times might have changed. He went from being a boy to being a man, from being a man to being a husband to being a father to being a king to being an outlaw. All of these things, and I'm jumbling them up a little bit. These will happen in different orders here. But he encountered all of these various times of his life, and yet in all of them, this statement was true in verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And we pass over it so quickly, especially if you've been in church for a long time and you've heard me point this out a number of times. It is not just that we acknowledge that God exists, nor that we say that we trust God, but it is that we say He is our God. Thou art my God. There is the personal nature of His relationship with His God. This is what holds Him up, strengthens Him. God is in control of everything, and we won't go into this whole doctrine of God's providential care and His authority over all. But God's dealing with those who are His, with His people, with those who trust in Him, with those who are called His people, that call Him my God, those people have a special attention from God, such that everything, whether it is a positive or a negative in the eyes worlds, is the world's eyes, is for good for us. It is good. God intends good for us. We think of this as being a New Testament Christian teaching that God works all things together for good to them who are the called according to His purposes. But the truth is, it was true in the Old Testament as well. David says, my times are in thy hand. And then he asked for God to deliver him and to make His face shine upon him. Just in case you were wondering, verse 16 is David saying more. I want more to be more in thy presence. I want to continually or more often to be in your presence. He says, make thy face shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. He wants a closeness with God. God values us at each stage of our life and in every circumstance. What are the times of our life? We're going to go to one passage here in Psalms again, Psalm 139. And you can leave a finger there in Psalm 31 if you like. But Psalm 139 in verse 13. The psalmist cries out for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. We won't do a deep dive in this passage. There's a lot of curious phrases in this set of verses. But you all probably understood or grasped the main point, which is that God is the one who was instrumental in putting together the person before they were born. Verse 15, when it says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. That is, as I was being fashioned, you already knew me, my God. God knows us from when we are being put together, knit together, body and soul, in our mother's womb. He knows us from then. And He cares about infants. We'll call infants babies before they're born. This is not the end of it. God is involved at every time of our life. He is involved in every time of our life. Before our members, that is, our body parts are formed, God knew what we would look like. He understood us, and He cares about us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We also know that Jesus cares about children. I don't need to prove this to you. We won't turn there. But we are told that Jesus said to his disciples, "Suffer or allow the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." God cares about children, young ones. God cares about us as youth. In 1 Timothy 4:12, where Timothy was told not to let no man despise thy youth. In every stage here, God is not only dispensing to us the change in our time, but He cares and wants a close personal presence. We won't turn there again for time, but in that 1 Timothy passage, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, we find that the example Timothy was to be was an example of the believers, one who is close to God. That's what God wants from us. It is His plan for us to be in His presence, for us to know Him personally. We are to be His people. In all of this, He provides us the time that we have. We find that this then even extends to old age. And since you're in Psalms, just a few pages over to Proverbs chapter 16, and some of you already know where we're going with this. We find that God does not give up on us just because we have reached a certain number of years, but instead, He is with us. And He is excited about us in every stage of our life. And before we read this, I just want to admit I'm still in that adult but not yet super old. That's what I think. Time frame, okay? But even now, I find myself thinking, oh, if only I had the energy, the strength, the health of when I was 20. Or if only I had some of that time back that was wasted doing this or that other thing. Instead of saying, God, I want to maximize right now for You. We make excuses for ourselves saying, God must not want us to do as much because of our age. No, God designs for us to finish our race well. If we go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, says, the hoary head, that is the gray head, is a crown of glory. And all of you are saying, Pastor, finish the verse. Finish the verse. Finish the verse. Finish the verse. Yes. If it be found in the way of righteousness. You see, gray heads are only a glory if we are still found in the way of righteousness. If our age has only taken us further from God, it is not a glory. It is a shame. It is us having failed to learn the lesson God wanted in the past and us failing to prioritize Him today. But notice He does not say anything here in verse 31 about a finished righteousness. He talks about the way of righteousness, a path that we are walking with our God. Even in old age, we must walk in the way of righteousness. So we can see that there is no time frame and there is no position in life that God puts us where we are not intended to walk with Him, to prioritize God, to love Him, to rest in Him, to trust Him. What is the way of righteousness? Well, we know that the way of righteousness is to find Jesus Christ, the way, and to trust Him. And He will give to us righteousness and guide us in paths of righteousness. We need to trust in God. We need to make sure that He is our God. That we aren't just talking about a theoretical God. That's where the philosophers go wrong. The philosophers will talk at great length about a God or a possibility of a supreme being or lack thereof. A lot of them take the other side. No supreme being, no God. But they talk about God as if He were far away, theoretical. What they do not understand is that God not only is real, but He is personable. He wants to know you and wants you to know Him. He wants that close relationship. He wants you to walk in the way of righteousness with Him. And if we are found in the way of righteousness, then every day is glory. Every gray hair added is glory. Being found in the way of righteousness. The Jewish people understood, and Isaiah points this out in Isaiah 46. You can put it down in your notes if you're taking them. Isaiah 46, verse 4, that they, as a people, were carried gently by God from birth, it says from the womb, to old age. In the passage, it is talking about those who God had delighted to deliver from the persecution and destruction that was coming upon all of them for their sin. But it says that as a people, God had carried them. And this is true of us as well. God has carried us to this day. You're not here by accident. You're not here by accident. You could just as easily have been born decades earlier or decades later. There are so many different ways in which things could be so different for you. You might have been swapped at birth and ended up at your neighbor's house instead of the one that you now call home. And how different your life would have been. How different. God has placed you where you are. And He has carried you to this moment. But we must finish the race well. If you'll turn with me now, our final passage to look at, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we pair this verse with Psalm 31 and verse 13, we find that God dispenses to us our times at His will, and that He provides to us in each of those times our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean our lives are going to be easy. This doesn't mean that we're always going to have riches or health. Sometimes we will go through trials, temptations. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, physical ailment of some kind. He was beaten and left for dead on at least one occasion. He was persecuted many times. He knew what it was like to be without, to not have sufficient food. Yet in all of that, he still stands by his statement there to the church at Philippi, God shall supply all your need. All of it. God has a plan for you. I don't know what it is, what lesson he has for you to learn today. Perhaps you unwisely asked God for patience. And I say unwisely only because the only way to learn about patience is to have your patience tested and tried. And it's only going through times when someone is truly on your nerves 24/7 that then you learn patience to any extent. But perhaps you have asked God to help you in an area lacking in your life, and God has answered. And he has brought into your life a season or a time, and you must continue to trust in him. Don't turn back now. Don't leave behind the things you learned before. Trust God. Rely on him. He will supply your needs. Sometimes what you need is a good, swift kick in the pants. Right? We see that sometimes in the supermarkets. You see some kid throwing a tantrum, and my kids are perfect. They're out there so I can actually talk about them. They aren't perfect. But you see some kid in the supermarket absolutely melting down, and you think, that kid just needs someone to give them a kick in the pants. They are being rotten through the core, and they are harming everyone else's ability to get on with their day because of their actions. Sometimes you and I need a good swift kick in the pants and God to say, you're wrong. You need to be doing this. You need to do something else. Sometimes we need to be corrected because pride, selfishness, hatred, envy, we can go down the list. There's a lot more of them. Strife, these things are in our lives and they are growing. They are finding purchase and they are poisoning everything. And God needs to smack us upside the head. Sometimes we go through things and later we find out God had for us a great ministry later because we learned the lesson. But notice, he doesn't put us through trials just so that we are, you know, able to commiserate with someone, but so that we can learn the lesson to trust in God. And if we've learned that lesson, then praise God for it. Praise God. God supplied our need, and now we can rely on him even more. We can show how he has provided for us. We need God's presence. We need to be God's people. And God's provision is in place for us. My question is, do you buck against God's times? Whether things have been going the same way for too long, do you kick up a stink? When things have been changing too rapidly, or something changed that you never wanted to change, and then do we say, I trust God. I trust him. He's brought me to this new stage in life. I will trust him, and he will provide for me all those things that I need, and he will teach me if I will rest in him. If I will learn the lesson of walking in the way of righteousness. Whether we grew up in the church and haven't shaken the habit of coming, or whether we have met Christ on the way and yet now are wondering, what does he have for me tomorrow? We need to seek his face every day. We need to trust him. We need to rest in him. That is the only way to succeed. David would tell you this lesson. God held my times in his hand. Can you imagine the patience of David? How many years after he was anointed to be king, before he actually sat on the throne? You look that up. Try and figure it out. It's not one or two. It's a long time. How many years knowing that God had something else for him, and yet he continued on trusting God, resting in him, relying on God, and in all of it saying, "He is my God. Thou art my God. I trust in thee." This is the lesson we each need. We need to approach God every day. Don't go the world's route. The world relies on friends, family, work, sports, those things to lift us up, to guide us, to counsel us, to console us. But the only one who gives us changes in our times, changes our life, brings us to new stages or seasons is God. And he is the only one who can meet our deepest needs. Who can heal the heart like Jesus? No one else. And how does he do it? Well, he heals us by his presence so divine. And so I ask you, seek out the presence of your Savior today. Trust him. Rest in him. Let nothing shake you. No bad times or good times. Trust him. Walk in the way of righteousness. And then you'll be able to say at the end of your life, as you're going up into glory, each gray hair, I was walking in righteousness. I was walking next to my Savior. Every trial, trouble, every situation has brought me only closer to my precious God and Savior. That's what we want. Faithfulness to God. Let's close now with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that our times are in your hands, that you know what is the right way to go, and you have a purpose and a plan that extends way beyond just us, and yet it includes us from the moment of our birth till now. And Lord, there is nothing that can harm us if you are with us. For even if this body dies, yet we shall see you. And with these very eyes, we shall behold our Savior. Father, we trust in you. We want to rest in you. Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us to not be overthrown by changes in our circumstances, by changes in the world around us, but rather to always be drawing closer and closer to you. And Lord, we thank you that you do supply our needs, those things which are necessary for life and for godliness. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide each one as we draw near to you. Amen.